From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. With me is Phil Kahn on Classical Underground, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. How are you doing, Phil?
Good morning, Phil. How are you? Good to be here.
I guess so. It's Canada Day.
Yeah, well.
We are under the America's nuclear umbrella, so nobody should worry about anything. We're absolutely
The umbrella
secure.
Has holes in it, though. That's the problem. Huh? The umbrella has holes in it.
It might. It's certainly going to have holes in it if somebody loses their temper. We're going to be talking today with Chris Black, a Canadian lawyer who's practiced before the various international bars, but particularly and the one in the ad hoc UN ad hoc tribunal for Rwanda. He's also he's a writer. He's written a novel, and he's about practicing law, both domestic and international. And he's been attending conferences in Europe. We want to find out about what his take is on the dangers of war and the sources of that, the source of the danger. I guess, Phil, you and I could mention everybody else is, the debate.
The debate.
Yes. Now, my memory is you didn't watch it, or you did.
No, I didn't watch it. Your memory is correct, but I read enough about it, and I know what the talking points are for both sides.
Yes.
I say both sides, but of course, there's a third side, which is the ordinary people, and they have a point of view too. But we don't quite know what it is.
Yeah, I think, of course, it should be pointed out it was not a debate. They label these things. They also commercialize them. It is given to one, the rights are sold to one network. It then sells to the other networks. Then everybody does commercials. So it just underlines that we're talking about money. Money is having an election. And one part of money is in favor of Trump, and another part of money is in favor of Biden. And they flatter us that we have some say in the matter. But the it does underline something that, to my mind, we've reached a point here. If they think of debates as an American sort of exercise, showing the people the two contestants. Notice there's two. There's never three, four, two, because a true democracy is America's democracy, which is two parties. Trump, by the way, used to be a registered Democrat, just for the record, and supported Hillary Clinton when she ran for the Senate. So, but there are three. The whole business of romanticizing the notion of a debate started with Abraham Lincoln versus Douglas, and they weren't running for president. They were running to be chosen as the senator from Illinois, and Abraham Lincoln lost. And it was not one debate. It was, I think, might have been five. If you go back and read it, you realize how far America has spiraled downward, because both men were very eloquent. Both men were actually quite informed. The people running the debate were hardly factors. Basically, the two individuals, Douglas, they were both from Illinois. Douglas was quite competent and usually a winner in debates. And this young guy, Lincoln, was also quite competent. People thought he was a hillbilly. Turned out he was kind of smart. And that became in history, they romanticized or turned it into something that it wasn't quite, but they had the idea that, you know, they should stand in front of the people, and which they were on platforms, and they would walk back and forth and take turns talking. They respected each other to begin with. And here's a phrase, Phil, I bet you and I have not heard for a long time. only a decade or so ago, it was common to hear it, my fellow Americans. There's no more my fellow Americans.
There's now no fellow Americans now.
You're a traitor. I hate you. Yeah. Trump actually called Biden at one point a Palestinian as an insult. That is, he's speaking about a national racial group that you're a Palestinian. I mean, that as though it embodies some kind of criminal evil aspect. And it was not remarked on because, you know, the heavyweight commentators didn't think that was important to mention. They didn't shake hands. There was no minimum respect. Not minimum. So it was open warfare. The people conducting the debate would ask a question, and then these two guys would hit each other with clubs. And then they would, so it's kind of a comedy show. You know, what was the question? Never mind, they're wrestling. And incidentally, all these guys, some of the people who own these outfits also own the World Federation of Wrestling or whatever it's called. And I think they get a lot of their best ideas from that, because it's basically how you bamboozle, how you have fake combat, how you your language has to always be totally over the top. My father once was thrown out of some guy's house because he started laughing while the guy was watching wrestling, and then my father started to laugh, and they told him he couldn't stay and watch TV anymore. But now that kind of mind is basically the popular mind. So America lost before the debate even began. The last decent debate was Nixon and Kennedy. And I have a theory about that. Both of them fought in World War, both of them, let's use the word properly, served in World War II. Kennedy fought, Nixon was in uniform, which is the same, it actually is the same because the enemy might be anywhere. But I think they had minimum regard for each other, which is how you hold the country together. But these guys don't want to hold the country together. It is, I'm going to have you arrested. I'm going to do this and that. You're a traitor. You're a Palestinian. Good Lord. Don't Joe Biden. No wonder he looks stunned. He had the notion that he would be called a Palestinian might make a person silent for a half hour or so, trying to figure out how do you talk about that subject. As I said, the last, I would say, decent debate was the two guys sitting in chairs with an interlocutor between. Do you remember it that way? You probably read history books.
Yeah, no, I watched the Kennedy-Nixon debate. And
there you go.
And there was an interlocutor, and he was, whatever that word
but
is.
They both were capable.
That's right, yeah.
And they assumed that each other were patriots, that they loved their country. All these little minimum, you might say the minimum test. And it's clear, obviously, they thought of each other as trying to lead the country in the wrong direction. But they both had that self-possession and civility of language and were rather persuasive to the constituencies that they appealed to. That was a dead heat election, by the way. It wasn't a runaway election. That was close. And as somebody said, Kennedy's connection to the Chicago machine helped him, and his ability hiring people who knew how to count in West Virginia allegedly turned the election in his favor. But this is, I would say, the end of the road. I mean, that at any rate, we have to remark on that. We'll be taking up the subject. The whole country is now waiting for the shoe to drop. What do you do? You know, his own party doesn't want him to, or at least powerful people in that party want to get rid of him. And that's the Democrats. We'll have to see.